Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Well, today, church, we are starting a new series. The last series I preached was on wisdom. It's called The Generous Gift of Wisdom. Today, I want to speak or preach a series over the next couple of weeks called Making Most of the Middle. So write that down, making most of the middle. I want to speak today about the middle season of life, the transitional season where you're neither here nor there, but you are in the, oh, come on, church, you are in the middle. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. And of course, as far as rules go at the moment, I just want to let you know that nothing has really changed. We're still only allowed 100 max in the overall facility, including kids and everyone else that goes with it. Song leader, 5 meter back. But we continue to declare the blessing of God. We need to pray for our prime minister. Come on, church. Online, we need to pray for our Prime Minister, declare the blessing of God over him and over his family. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, when you've got it, can I have a good amen? Oh, about 4 people have their Bibles today. Once you've got it, can I have a good amen? There we go. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, it says, "There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers." Now watch this. "We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Turn also, if you can, to the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'm going to read Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good," or that good, "and acceptable and perfect will of God." This morning, we are going to journey just for a moment with the children of Israel. We're going to pick up the story where the children of Israel have come out of Pharaoh's captivity. It's a nation of people who had been slaves for approximately 400 years, generation after generation. Of course, people who all they knew was to serve Pharaoh and to please Pharaoh. They had the mentality of a slave. Eventually, God raises up a deliverer. You know the story. His name is Moses. Moses goes with a word from God and with unimaginable power, most amazing plagues, most amazing deliverance. They go through the Passover. And of course, the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea. Bible teachers tell us that it was approximately 2 million people that experienced the power of God and went through this most amazing deliverance. And they find themselves now on the other side. They find themselves in the middle season. Most believers make the mistake of actually thinking that the wilderness wanderings were actually for 40 years. Now, it's partly true, but you'll see, according to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 14, that the wilderness wanderings were in fact for 38 years. 2 years of the 40 was actually designed by God before they actually went into their promised land. And so today, what we're going to have a look at is that middle season. We're going to have a look at the 2 years. We're going to have a look at why did God not take them directly from the crossing of the Red Sea towards their promised land? Why did they have to go through a transitional season? Right now, we, as of course in Australia, across the globe, really, we are in a transitional season. We find ourselves in the middle. The middle is uncomfortable. You're neither here, you're neither there, You want to sing at church? You can't sing at church. You want to dance on Sunday night in the mosh pit? But you can't. We're in the middle. There are people who are busting to get into the auditorium, but they can't because as soon as those things become available, it seems to like get clicked on real quick. And before you know it, you see a thing on the internet that says services at capacity. And there's an annoyance that comes with that. There's an annoyance when you can't function in life in the way that you want to. A lot of kids' sport have come to a close, and your workplaces, there's been turmoil. And Carl was telling me after 5 months of working from home, this was the first week that he was able to go back into the office. And so we find ourselves in this middle season. We're neither here, we're neither there. Some of you are busting to do a holiday overseas. Vikram was telling me about how cheap Hawaii is at the moment. Apparently there are, you can get an 80% discount right now. But how many of you know you won't be going to Hawaii in the next month or two? And so we are in the middle. We're neither here, we're neither there. We're somewhere between this and that. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, is the middle season a waste of time? Is the middle season a season where we just kind of, you know, journey it out until we eventually arrive at freedom and worship and mosh pits on a Sunday night so our young people can enjoy God and be in His presence? Can the middle season actually be sown into the hands of God? Is the middle season something that we are supposed to endure? Or is the middle season a season where we ask God, are you actually doing something? Is the Lord actually up to something? And what we need to do as God's people is to catch His program, is to pick up His plans and His purposes. Moses knew the ways of the Lord. The children of Israel saw the acts of the Lord. Is God up to something great? Could He be preparing us for something? Could He actually be getting you ready for destiny and for purpose? Could the purposes of God and the dreams of God that are actually in your heart, do you need this middle season so that God can mold you and shape you and get you ready for a promised land? 2 years of wanderings, 2 years in the wilderness. There were a couple of things that God did to prepare His people. Firstly, we see in Exodus 13, we see that after they had come out from slavery and crossed the Red Sea, that He gave to them a visible sign of His presence, which of course was a cloud by day and a fire by night. Every single day, these people saw the visible, tangible presence of God right in front of them, remembering that these people, all they knew was Pharaoh's leadership. All they knew was how to act as a slave. When one thing to be taken into slavery, it's a whole nother thing when you're born into slavery, and then your parents and your kids, generation after generation, born into, that's all they knew. So God gave to them a cloud by day and a fire by night to show them that He has the ability to guide them through the desert plains of life. He showed to them that He is their leader, that He is their defender. And most importantly, His presence was a sign of His assurance that He's with you when you are in the middle. The second sign that He gave to them of significance was in Exodus chapter 15, where the people were thirsty. And they all get upset at Moses because we're in the desert and we got no water. And they found water, but unfortunately the waters were bitter. And so they complain to Moses, and Moses gets a stick or a tree, some translation saying, he throws it into the water, and bitter waters are actually made sweet. And the people were able to drink the water. And so God was conveying to these people, he said, you'll read it in Exodus chapter 15, he says, I am the Lord who heals. So you have a visible presence and you have a God who's able to take bitter things and to make them sweet. The bitterness of their past did not have to be brought into their future. He's the Lord who heals. The next sign that they get is they get a little bit hungry. Not too much food when you're out in a desert. And God supernaturally rains from heaven bread or manna, the Bible says. The word manna, we say it's bread, but that's because Jesus calls himself the bread of life and he likens it unto that experience in the wilderness. But the word manna actually literally means, what is this? They had never seen it before. But what we do know is these people had free food every single day. And every day they'd wake up, there was food for them. There was, watch this, provision for them. And so God was trying to teach these people that you were once sustained by Pharaoh and by a system that shrunk you and held you captive and barely kept you alive. But now you will be sustained by the Lord. Now, watch what's happening. Every day, food. Every day, cloud by day, fire by night. There is, watch this, a reprogramming that's taking place in the mentality of these people in the middle season. And so what God is doing is he is bringing them out of the mindset of a slave into truth. And freedom, watch this, is affected by truth. And God removes something from them in order to replace it with something. And God never removes something if he doesn't then replace it with something. And he replaces it for these people with spiritual renewal. They go through a time of reshaping. There's a reestablishment of covenant with God's people and a reconfiguration, stay with me now, a reconfiguration of the mind. You are not a slave. You are called. You are chosen. I have destiny for you. I have purpose for you. And so essentially we could say that for 2 years, these people are going through boot camp. They're getting fit. They are in a place where they are doing Orange Theory every single day, F45 on steroids. And all five senses are having an experience on a daily basis with the very living presence of God, their touch, their sight, their hearing and smell and taste is experiencing the goodness of God. There is a reprogramming. And there are things from our past that come with us that God is wanting to undo. And he allows at times a middle season so that the middle season is the place where we can let some things go that belong to Pharaoh and his strategies and his plan, because we can't take those things into our future if we are to be the people that God has actually called us to be. And so for 2 years, they're in boot camp. For 2 years, they're hitting up spiritual F45. For 2 years, their spiritual capacity is expanding and their understanding of the things of God and the goodness of God and the provision of the Lord. For 2 years, this happens to be the walk or the thing that these people experience on a day-to-day basis. Now they're ready. They're ready to come out of the middle season and they are ready to move into their promised land. And this will be our story. The middle won't last forever. the coronavirus won't be here for 365 years and this will end at some point. But God wants to redeem the middle season. Can you actually see God's hand in it? What is he up to? When you go through tests and challenges, one of the primary things, one of the main things you can ask yourself is, Lord, what are you doing in me? Amen. So they're ready now. 2 million people on the brink of destiny. They come up with a strategy. And the strategy is, of course, to send out the 12 spies. You know the story. Go and spy out the promised land. People are camped. They're waiting for a report from the 12 spies. 12 spies are gone literally for 40 long days, waiting with anticipation for what God's about to do. Well, you know the story. 12 spies come back, and 10 have the heebie-jeebies. And the middle season had no effect on them whatsoever. 2, Joshua and Caleb, the middle season, the plans and the purposes of God had been worked in them. But 10 had the heebie-jeebies. And they did not allow the middle season to shape them, to change them. And now we read their response. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. We read it earlier. We saw giants. So there was opposition. There were giants in the land. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. Now watch this. And we were like grasshoppers. They're like, we're nothing. We're like insects. Now watch this. This is the bit that I want you to get in our own sight. The giants never said, you were like grasshoppers. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. They saw themselves as being insignificant. They saw themselves as being insufficient and inadequate and small. Now watch this. God never put this on them. This limitation was self-imposed. I want to talk to you today about the conversation that you have with yourself. I want to talk to you today about how the middle season is wanting to correct the conversation that you have with yourself. God never gave to these people a low self-estimate. This was self-imposed. The way that they saw themselves, watch this, determined what they believe others thought about them. And a short journey, in fact, the journey from the crossing of the Red Sea to the Promised Land was only 11 days. But God took them on a 2-year, couple of roundabouts, go to Kirrawee, go to Cronulla, back to Sutherland, why not go to Menai, let's go back to Sutherland, coffee's good there at Whitehall. And they kept going on this journey. All the while, God was working something in them to prepare them for what was to come. This low estimate, this self-conversation, this conversation that pulled them down. We're like grasshoppers in our own sight. Self-imposed. The Bible speaks a lot about this. One of my favorite verses, of course, you would know. I often quote it when I preach. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Or you could say, the better translation is, for as a man thinks in his heart, so he becomes. The Bible speaks a lot about this self-conversation. Speaks a lot about your thought life. It speaks a lot about the way that you think about yourself that's incongruent to the plans and the purposes and the will of God. In fact, the Hebrew word that's used there for Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 actually says, for as a man, come on, as a man, put the verse up, please, as a man calculates He calculates. What's the purpose of a calculator? Well, Steve Lamb will tell you, whenever I catch up with him, he's like... He's calculating, watch this, why? So he can give to me and the others that serve in this arena of the church accurate information to then make right decisions. But what happens when the information's wrong? What happens when what's been inputted into, because it's not the calculator's fault. I'm getting a new calculator. It's not the calculator's fault. It's what gets put in that then is what comes out. For as a man calculates with himself, so is he. Remember going through these processes in the purposes of God where God wants to undo certain things in us that tell us something about ourselves that's actually incongruent with the way that Jesus actually sees us. A grasshopper in my own sight. Remember as a youth pastor, I was about 23, 24. And, you know, when you're kind of that age, a couple of insecurities here and there, and you deal with things and you go through seasons. I remember to no fault of my senior pastor at the time, David Storer, it was the day before my holidays. He was walking through one side of the exit of the auditorium. It was midweek. I happened to be just walking through. And he looks over at me. I look over at him. I thought that he looked at me really bad. He probably couldn't see because it was so dark in the auditorium, thinking, who is that? I went away thinking, is David Storer actually happy with me as his youth pastor? An insecure Brad. I started calculating wrong information. So is he, so he will become. I had 2 weeks holidays, literally like the next day. All those holidays for 2 weeks, the brain was moving and insecurity. I had come to the conclusion by the end of that two-week holiday that David Storer no longer wanted me to be his youth pastor simply because of a look in the auditorium. Wrong calculation. So I sit down with him as I would periodically and I say to him, Pastor David, I know you're not happy with me as your youth pastor. He's like, what? You know, when I saw you in that auditorium, he goes, when did I see you in the auditorium? Wrong estimate. Wrong understanding. And the calculation within myself brought about a thought eventually leading to a belief, thankfully not becoming a stronghold. Wrong data. For as a man thinks in his heart, so he becomes. I don't know if you saw in Perth, 2017, Air Asia flight flying from Perth to Bali. The pilot, the captain, put the wrong calculations into the computer of the aircraft. And as soon as the airplane took off, started veering and turning. They went on the wrong runway. And so the aircraft started turning at 67 meters, which you have to get a measure of altitude before the aircraft can actually turn. And they discovered that what was actually put into the computer of the aircraft was incorrect. And lives could have been destroyed because of wrong data, wrong input. I want to challenge you today. Don't allow the data, the input of what you believe about yourself. Question it. Speak to it. Does it come under the covering of the Word of God? And the children of Israel could not see their position of strength because they were demoralized by a negative mentality, a grasshopper mentality. It's the way that we see ourselves. We cannot move forward into our promised land. Could it be that the middle season, God's using it to reshape your thinking, to reconfigure the conversation that you have with yourself about your future, what you truly believe about who you are, where you're going. And God's using the middle season to show you some things, to teach you some things, so that when we come to a place called destiny, we're not the 10, but we're like Joshua and Caleb, who had a different spirit. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed." Come on, church, but be transformed. How does transformation occur? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable and perfect will of God. Of course, many of you will know that the word transform, the Greek word that's used there, is where we get the English word metamorphosis from. So a caterpillar goes through metamorphosis, turns into a butterfly. So God's saying that as we renew our minds, there is a metamorphosis. There is a transformation that actually takes place. Be renewed, be transformed by the renewing, how? Of the mind. And as our minds are properly informed, and then we are conformed to the pattern of God's will. Church, the Word of God is powerful. We in this season, in this middle season, need to lay a hold of our Bibles. We need to read our Bibles. We need to allow the Word of God to heal us from toxic thinking and deliver our minds from destructive patterns and beliefs that are incongruent with the plans and the will and the purposes of God, insecurities, fears, bitterness, and inability to make decisions because of fear, fear of what other people think. All these things can be done away with as we allow the Word of God to renew our minds, to transform us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the Word of God is living and powerful." I love that it says it's living and powerful, because something can be living doesn't necessarily mean it's powerful. Like if you had a fight, a ninja warrior fight with an ant, it's living, but not necessarily powerful. The Bible says that the Word of God is living and it is powerful. God's Word can heal your mind. God's Word can set you free. God's Word can tell you who you are, who you really are. The Bible actually speaks about this generation in the book of Hebrews, and it says they heard the Word, but it was never mixed with faith. We got to hear the Word. We got to receive the Word. We got to allow the Word to penetrate the very core of our beings. Having a passion for our Bibles. Having a passion to read your Bible. Study your Bible. It's living and it is powerful. We feed off Jesus and His goodness when we read our Bibles. It transforms us. Everything that you need in life, every healing, every solution, every answer is actually found in your Bible. Amen. Let me tell you a story of how the Word of God helped me, transformed me, set me free. When I was a young adult pastor, there was a crazy guy. And this crazy guy came to our young adult ministry. He was a little bit older. Got involved with a particular situation, and the Holy Spirit, every time I would get near him and around him, "Watch this guy, watch this guy." It doesn't happen often, but it does happen now and again. And as time went on, some things came out, and I needed to go into commando mode. I don't do that in church life. It's something that, you know, people make their own choices. But this one was gonna be destructive. So Another pastor, more mature than myself, called a meeting with this guy. We had healthy, godly, loving conversations with him. He lost the plot in the meeting. Bless his heart. And then I'm at my office desk one day. It was actually on the same day. And I'm kind of, you know, doing some young adult pastor work. And I hear this knock on the door. He was kind enough to knock on the door. Don't ask me why. And I said, come in. And as I went to turn around, I felt these hands around my neck. And he starts strangling me. Now, I'm the only person in this part of the office. You know, it's a big church, a lot of offices. And he's like... I went into karate mode, literally. And I was able to pull his arms off. He was like, just going for it. You know, he had lost the plot. And I was able to grab him and then just hold him down until others came. So, don't mess with black people. So, like, I didn't want him to be charged or, like, just move on, you know, like, it's all good. So, one of the pastors freaks out, calls the police, police come, arrest him, all of that. And he's yelling out as the police are taking him away in handcuffs. They say, he says to me, he goes, one day when you're not looking, I'm going to come for you. Police like, be careful what you say. One day when you're not looking, so he's threatening me, I'm gonna come for you. And it got into me. And so I go to bed. Tori was just the newborn back then, and I'd hear a noise at night, you know, as you do, wind blowing the trees, a couple of leaves fall on the roof, you know, just normal house noises. And I'm like freaking out. And then my sleep patterns, just little by little, things. This thing's getting into me. One day when you're not looking, could it be him? Maybe it's a leaf on the roof. I better go and turn the light, the front porch light on to scare away anyone that maybe we should buy a German Shepherd, put it in the yard as well. Get like protection dog, you know? And it started to consume me, started to consume my thought life, affected my sleep patterns. It's affecting me. Then you know you have broken sleep over a sustained period of time. Well, that's not healthy for the brain, you know. It's a form of torture, really. And then eventually, it's affecting me spiritually. Your prayer life goes all over the place. You know, you're reading your Bible. It's like, did I just read John 1 or Daniel? Which one? You know, the brain's foggy. And I knew I had to do something about it. I knew I had to break this thing. So I knew the Holy Spirit started to stir my heart and say, you've got to get a hold of the Word. So I started reading and just digesting the Word of God. And one day I'm reading 2 Timothy and the scripture pops out at me. For God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I kept claiming it. I kept confessing it. The right data was going in and the mind started to, God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Amplified says, a calm and a well-balanced mind. God has given to me a calm and a well-balanced mind. And I spoke it and I declared it and I broke that thing in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, because the Word of God, it's alive and it is powerful. We got to get the Word into us. Goliath, watch this, was not a threat to David. He was an invitation into David's purpose. Whatever's ahead of you, as strong and as big it may seem, it's an invitation towards destiny. As we grab a hold of the Word of God and we speak it and we confess it in Jesus' mighty name. And for David, the opposition actually awakened in him, in a young boy, a giant killer. The middle season is there to awaken a giant killer in you. to rise up, to grab a hold of God's word, and to speak it and declare it in Jesus' mighty name. So, Father, today we stand on your word. We believe your word. We thank you for the word of God. We receive the word of God into our lives today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. If I could have the musos and singers, I just sense the Spirit of God just moving right now. Come on, there's things that are shifting in the atmosphere. There's a movement that's taking place. Some of you, you've been lied to. You've been told by the enemy that you'll have to live with fear and depression for the rest of your life. Some of you have been told that anxiety will be the portion of your life for years to come. Just learn to live with it. I want to say to you that that is not true. That is the wrong data has been inputted into your onboard aircraft computer. You need to get rid of that thing, because you're getting in that plane and you are flying towards destiny. God wants to take you to your destiny. Get the right information in that computer. What's the right information? It's the Word of God. You're more than an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Fear is not your portion. Anxiety is not your portion. Your child will not fall away from God. Come on, the keeping grace of God. That is your portion today. You are blessed. You are above and not beneath. You are the head and not the tail. Come on, you have a calm and a well-balanced mind in Jesus' name. So we receive that today as the people of God. Can we just stand up on our feet just for a moment?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.